Back on Downtown, it's 441. Time for Message in the Bottle. 12th grade in the junior college. Buddy, I passed my exam. Making me Eric Mann of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor, joins us. Good way to start things today. I like
so
it.
Good.
Yes.
So good. So we, it's both topically appropriate, sort of, not the radar gun part, but last week we brought up New Jersey's own Bottle Rockets. This is them, guys.
There you go.
The Bottle Rockets.
Love it.
This is a great band. You guys got to check out. Their, first of all, their lead singer ran for like Senate, and my step cousin, once removed or whatever, did a whole documentary on it in New Jersey. And I saw these guys open like last second for the Allman Brothers because, who was it? Lust Lonely Boys. They were supposed to open and they canceled last second. So they're like, I don't know, what's a Jersey band that people know that's probably not touring right now? That's it. So yeah, the Bottle Rockets, everyone. The
Very
Bottle
nice. Rockets. Enjoyed yeah. that.
That's good. They've just check them out. Anyone who likes, I don't know, like Tom Petty, like singer-songwriter with a groove sort of thing. Mm. Yeah. So hey, everybody. I do have a topic today, which is bottles. This whole month we're talking about the various ways that wine gets to you, so packaging, right? But before I get to that, happy voting day. I hope everybody's out there exercising your civic rights. I keep getting this very strange, like, you know, because a lot of folks know that I this is funny because I don't really lean liberal. I'm actually very conservative in a lot of my bends. It's just we've lost all track of what the heck that means these days.
Exactly.
But I'm everybody's like, so you know, who did you vote for? I'm like, well, actually, I'm independent, and they're like, oh. And I'm like, in this state, like I thought this is one of those states where you could be an independent. People like, yep, get it, and be like, oh. Geez, that's nice. Can't make up your mind, can you, honey?
Tough times. Like, pick a side.
I know, right? I'm just like, I'm sorry.
How's that fence feel up your crack?
Well, that, and some of them make me feel like I'm like not doing my demo. Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, one of those.
Maybe, you know, you still can register, you know, if you want to participate in democracy. I'm like, wait a minute. I've got a sign on my front yard. Just as free firewood, but it's a sign.
It's a sign nonetheless, yes.
Oh, my goodness. The other thing about having a sign I've discovered is that other people think you can get them signs.
Oh, yes.
Who's that guy who hands out signs? Ron White or here's your sign.
Here's your sign.
I'm like, no, I don't make the signs. I was given the sign.
Yeah.
I saw the sign.
And once you have a sign, everybody else who's got signs thinks there's room on your lawn for theirs.
That's
put his sign up. What about mine?
That's actually the great thing is, fortunately, I did, again, this is not a political statement or whatever, but I saw a Joe Baldacci sign today, and I'm like, oh my, are we there yet? And Christine's like, no, I think he's just early. I'm like, okay.
We got some time.
And somebody else has asked me about the CMP corridor. I'm like,
No.
I thought I had one job today, and it was to remember what yes meant no and no meant yes or something like that. I'm like, I think I got the right answer, but that's it. Don't
hold it up to the mirror and it will give you the correct answer. Yes.
Oh, oof. My gosh, guys.
Okay.
So election day in Maine, who knew it was, again, I thought I had one job and that there would be no math. Fortunately,
I just wish there were more old white guys on the ballot.
Someday, Rich. Yeah. Someday.
I feel like
we'll get there.
I need people 20 years older than me running for president. That would be great. Oh, wait. My dream has come true.
That's all right. That's good.
Got America.
For you and me. Speaking of, and then I really will get, I do need to sort of mention something. And this sort of is all rolled in this political world we're living in. The tariffs, the 25% tariffs that are still in effect are starting to reach our shores, folks. I'm starting to see price increases. In all those wines that, you know, we sort of expected, all the, you know, so Bordeaux and other French gems, some Italian wines, some Spanish wines, all those places in the EU who make delicious juice that we like to drink. So, and it's not bad. It's like, you know, maybe 75 cents on a bottle right now. People are still trying, but basically what's happened is, a lot, you know, people did their best to sell what they had that was already on our shores to get them in the hands of folks like me, frankly. And said, you know, here's an opportunity to take what we have that's not been taxed. And, you know, so we did our best, but now we're there. We're starting to receive items from containers that were, you know, that had not even left Europe at this point. So just be aware of it. Please be understanding. That's all I ask is, it's not our fault. We're not trying to gouge anybody, but, you know, if we're going to get charged more, you're going to get charged more. And that's just the beauty of the thing. And I just want to be honest about it. It's starting to happen. We're starting to see it. And don't stop. You know, every time you see Jared Golden on the street, say, hey, my Bordeaux's more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just mention that when you're back in the halls of power. Things there like that.
It's
not insignificant. And it's not just Bordeaux. It's other things, you know. To live in a tariff-free world, I don't know. Maybe it's the dream. I have no idea. Although I'm sure tariffs pay for absolutely important things like healthcare. Mm. Anyway, speaking of which, coronavirus is also actually affecting the wine industry. Don't kid yourselves. More to come.
Really?
Well, China is one of the largest consumers of wine in the world, as well as one of the largest producers of stuff like bottles and other packaging materials. So not only have they stopped buying wine, they've stopped making things that are eventually going to house wine, like bottles. So here's our topic.
Right back around.
Awkward seg, but hey, here we are. So bottles. So like I said, all this month, I kind of want to talk because it's absolutely fascinating, and we're definitely talking about, you know, what materials you're going to use. It's no longer just talking about consumer trends, right? We're really talking about what materials are the most cost effective, the most easy to get. I mean, you know, if all of a sudden the places where we get X, Y, and Z are no longer, or you know, the materials there are twice as expensive, all of a sudden other packaging options might look really good. And of course, if you're talking about worldwide shipping, if there's disease concerns, that is another problem. So this is all tied together. Obviously, I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know, that, you know, all industries are tied together, but it really is. So let's talk about glass bottles for a second. The first produced glass was made around 3000 BC in northern Syria. And it was basically decorative, and, you know, it was early. It was experimental, right? But it wasn't until the Romans invented glass blowing that bottles were produced. The Romans liked booze. I'm not saying that necessity is the mother of invention because other people have said it before me. So maybe that's exactly what I'm saying, but I didn't invent it. I'm just repeating it. So there you go. By the way, and this is a complete non sequitur. It does not smell nearly as bad in here as I was really. I almost called out.
Like, well, when I came in,
it was pretty rank. I'm thinking about like smelling this beautiful wine that we have here today, and I was like, is there going to be even a point? Speaking of which, I got to tell you guys about this wine. It's delicious wine. We'll get to it.
Fantastic wine.
So anyway, so the Romans came up with it, but they weren't, it was still very delicate, right? So like the chosen vessels, as I'm sure many, many of you know, were still amphora, right? Those very large, and well, they could be all sorts of sizes, right? Of clay vessels, essentially, and that are actually now sort of being reincarnated in this sort of new old school way of winemaking that you see a lot in the country of Georgia, which is now sort of spreading into other parts of Europe and other parts of the world. So that was they were just easier to transport. They were easier to lay down. They were more durable. So that's really what the Romans were using, despite the fact that Romans developed this whole, you know, glass blowing for bottles. So in the 17th century is really when you saw the sea change, because coal burning furnaces were invented, and that allowed for much, much hotter temperatures, which allowed thicker glass to be produced and hence more durable bottles. And around the same time, the use of cork as a stopper, as a closure method, was being developed in the Iberian Peninsula, right? So Spain and especially Portugal, Portugal being the producer of about, I think, we'll get to it in a couple of weeks, but I think it's like 2/3 of the world's cork. It's hugely important. excuse me. So that was the big development. And then the next huge development, and one that continues to plague me literally up to yesterday night, as if any of you go into the store, I have rearranged things a little bit again to allow for, we're getting sort of bigger crowds for tastings, and I'm considering doing some more focused tastings in the store. So I wanted to kind of create a little pathway. And so I'm you know, rejiggering all the, especially like champagne bottles and things like that. And frankly, there's no real standardization in bottle shape, although there are some standard styles. But even for, in terms of like storing wine on its side, it wasn't until like the 1700s that, you know, wine started to be aged, because you had bottles that could actually sort of stay on their side and be, you know, stacked on one another. And of course, now that we know that it's best to be stored with a wet cork, that's when they sort of started to discover all that. So eventually the shorter, rounder bottles, some of which you still see like in the Pfalz region, and some of the southernmost German wine regions, those kind of short little stubby round bottles, those kind of fell out of favor, and rather than using those, they would use basically bottles that we call like claret, which is your classic Bordeaux style, so that long flat side. And believe me, I can't count the number of times I've said, as a merchant, if I was in, you know, this, the god of the wine world sort of thing, you know, all powerful, I would standardize all bottles to be that bottle, because it stacks neatly and it's very, very handy. But of course you have things like the Burgundy style bottle, which is that more sloping shouldered one that a lot of like Chardonnays and Pinot Noirs will come in. Then there's very, very unique styles, things as crazy as there's the one from Gattinara, which is a Nebbiolo producer, which is, it looks like it was sort of crunched in by a human hand, and it's designed to catch sediment so that you don't need a decanter. So there's all manner of things. But again, it wasn't really until it took a long time for things like that to be standardized. The other thing that took time to be standardized, and this didn't even happen in the U.S. until the 1970s, was the standard of like volume, right? So how much is a standard bottle of wine? And as you may or may not know, a standard bottle of wine these days is 750 milliliters. That was adopted by basically the entire world. And is that significant? Well, it's not ounces, is it? And the U.S. Mm-hmm. adopted it. So as long as we can get our drink on, we'll bend and flex. I don't know.
Metric system, that's not going to catch on.
It's not a big thing. So as I said, yeah, so 750 milliliters is the standard bottle size. Speaking of that, and as I'm running out of time, we should talk about the standard bottle that I brought in today, because it's absolutely delicious and I want to share it. It
sure is.
So this is Fritz Müller. This is a Perlwein. Perlwein. Perlwein is basically their method of Charmat method, which, as I'm sure longtime listeners to this segment know, is how they make Prosecco. So this is basically German Prosecco. This is made with the grape, and I love this because it's Fritz Müller, but this is the grape Müller-Thurgau. Müller-Thurgau is essentially a hybrid created from Silvaner, which is a cousin of Riesling. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's a Trocken. And so I said, it's got like these wonderful small little Prosecco bubbles. And I just had to read this description. Is fantastic. I hope that Fritz himself wrote this. With its spirit and vitality, it offers a glass of Secco full of gusto and nerve, full of energy, creamy and captivating. This is Fritz Müller Secco. I don't know. I love it. Anyway, it's gorgeous. It's wonderful. Right. It's fantastic. And I have a couple cases of it, and it's on sale. So you should go check it out, because it's really, really good. And our wine of the week this week is our first 2019 rosé, so the first rosé of the season for us. It is Domaine de la Fouquette Cuvée Rosé d'Aurore. It is $17.99 this week because of it's our wine of the week, and it's absolutely delicious, so go check that out. Our tasting this month is on the third Thursday. We're back to that. We are still trying to reschedule the one we canceled last week because of the horrible weather that we went through. Although it was apparently bad in the hinterlands, and frankly, I'd rather everybody stay safe. But anyway, so we'll try to reschedule that as well, and we've got some really cool events coming up that we'll talk about in the coming weeks. So I will look forward to talking to all of you, next week. We will be talking about the various closure methods, right? So screw caps, cork, all those sorts of things. And, we'll drink another good bottle of wine. Till then, cheers.
Thank you. That was delightful. By the way, your cat is very stylish.
It's unbelievable, really. She knows it. That's the thing.
Eric May and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday on Downtown.